Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, I was excited to see that Tron Light Cycle Power Run in Walt Disney World is doing full speed tests. So they have been very slowly pulling the coaster vehicles around the track, but recently they've started doing the full speed tests with the huge circular thing to make sure nobody's going to get their arms lopped off if they, you know, raise them up. Which seems like a good sign for it to open soon, because if they're running the cars full speed around, then it seems like structurally the track is done and all they need to do now is finish up with the show building and all the accoutrement.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I am excited to see this, but then I also think about things like, you know, what Disco Yeti would like a word with you about everything being finished once the coaster is good to go and the, you know, the building just coming up around it. But no, this does look very good. I'm glad to see that, you know, people are getting videos. It's good to see that the People Mover is still good for something. Which, by the, did we talk about the fact that last trip I actually skipped the People Mover because the line was too long?
Really?
Yeah.
No, like, we didn't talk about that.
It was snaking out of the normal area for it and snaking around a couple of different places. And, you know, they had the cast member holding the pole, you know, that the line starts here or whatever. And I'm just like, no, I'm good.
Wow. I will say.
It's the people mover. It's moving.
Like, yeah.
What do they call that? The speedways or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrowland, you know, Speedway?
The up and down moving sidewalks.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever they call that. I forget exactly what Goodyear has that labeled as, but those were, you know, operational. So I don't know what would slow down the crowds other than, I guess, just they were super busy. But, yeah, We know the People Mover is useful for more than this, but it's good to see the roller coaster moving. And I don't think it's going to, based on the current look of things, Jeremy, I don't think you're going to get to ride it on your next visit.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm looking at the way things are currently progressing. You know, I know that the canopy is either done or nearing completion. I think
it's pretty much done.
Yeah, but there's still an awful lot of construction stuff in that area, and I would love to be wrong. So go ahead, Disney, make me wrong about this. But they are at least proving that they haven't forgotten that it exists, which is promising. Because honestly, I was starting to kind of wonder if they did.
Yeah. The view of that thing from the People Mover at night is going to be spectacular. I mean, the People Mover is going to have the most beautiful view of the canopy all lit up. If they even light it half as well as the one in Shanghai, I mean, it's just going to be great.
Yeah.
So that'll be another feather in the People Mover's cap.
I'm looking forward to seeing this when it actually gets fully up and running in Magic Kingdom, and seeing the way that it looks there, you know, cause I mean, we've seen Shanghai and we know that it's basically the same, but I don't know. There's something about I still can't completely visualize what that looks like with the backdrop of Magic Kingdom, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and it's behind ish Space Mountain. Like, I have a hard time conceptualizing the entrance to it. You know, how that's going to flow in Tomorrowland. So I'll be interested to, even if I don't get to experience it, to at least see how that part of Tomorrowland is going to flow.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It'll be exciting to see, and now we know it's going to... happen at some point, in theory, unless there's a Disco Yeti lurking in Tron as well. I don't want to put that on them. I'm kind of scared that I even said that. I take it back. I take it back, world.
Disneyland has been apparently in the last few days putting in the app a warning to check Lightning Lane availability before purchasing Genie Plus, as Genie Plus is non-refundable. Which I don't know. You put this link in. Like, what do you glean from that? It seems bad.
I glean that Genie Plus did not kill the monster.
Yeah.
The monster is still alive and well. And by the monster, of course, I'm talking about the problems that have been created of, you know, having multiple tiers of guests and all this that supposedly Disney was trying, you know, some people have posited that Disney was trying to fix that with the introduction of Genie Plus. I don't know. I'm still personally in the camp of Disney like money. Money come from Genie Plus. Disney like Genie Plus. As far as what their logic was there, though, I could see there being some argument for it. But if you're at the point where you're actively telling people, hey, you maybe shouldn't buy this, like, that's not a good look for a product, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know you think you want this thing, but do you really want this thing? You should really look at this thing before you buy this thing. And I get that it's non-refundable, and don't get me wrong, I am completely aware that a customer is going to come in, you know, and I know in this case guest, but I say customer because, you know, we don't have guests at my job. But that people will come in with unrealistic expectations, like they'll buy Genie Plus at 3 p.m. and then wonder why they can't get their Rise of the Resistance, you know, which I don't know. Is Individual Lightning Lane, is that a thing over at Disneyland? Or, you know, yes. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's probably Individual Lightning Lane. But, you know, whatever attraction that, you know, they will have that expectation of, I get one of every attraction, and that is not the way that the system works. And the difference here is, you know, when that was Fast Pass, it was too bad, so sad. You're still getting what you paid for.
Right.
But when people pay for things, it puts a whole different spin on it. But I don't know. I still look at this and go, you guys started charging money for it and you still can't fulfill what people are wanting, is kind of what this tells me.
Yeah, with all of the marketing that's gone into Genie Plus, this having in the app, it say, like, really make sure you want to buy this is bad enough. But then to add the verbiage that it's non-refundable, I think that, like, makes it way worse. Because at the end of the day, non-refundable at Disneyland is a fluid term. And I would think that you can probably go over to guest services at Disneyland and get a $15 voucher for a meal or something. You know, like, they're not going
to
refund
you. If you're willing to burn like 2 hours of your visit,
right,
to be with all the other people that are there to complain about Genie.
That's
Plus.
True. But I don't know, just like putting the verbiage in there that it's non-refundable adds like this second level of divisiveness, or I don't know how to say what I'm thinking, but
it feels aggressive.
Yeah, it's like, because, like, make sure you want this because you're SOL if you don't. And it's like, just to tell people, like, hey, please make sure, like, check the Lightning Lane availability before you get this. You know, that's helpful. That feels helpful. That feels like, hey, we just want to make sure you don't have a bad experience. Make sure you look at this, this, and this before you decide to make this purchase. Cool. But then, yeah, adding, because it's non-refundable, it just feels gross. Yeah, and I think that's it. It's more aggressive. But yeah, I don't know. This is bad, man. This is not a good look for the old Genie Plus.
And it's worth remembering that this is during Easter weekend. So I don't think this is something they're planning on doing all the time. But if they are, they might want to consider, you know, something where when you go to buy Genie Plus, it says these are the rides that currently do not have Lightning Lane available today because they're already sold out. And by the way, this is a non-refundable purchase. Like there are less aggressive ways than putting out a thing that says, do you really want this before you get it? And then you run into the issue of Lightning Lane can go fast.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just like Fast Pass. So
maybe it's available now, but not in 30 minutes.
Exactly. What happens if it's available now? And so I go through and I go to do the purchase and my credit card gets kicked back because I had my old expiration date in the Disney app. And so then I have to sign in three more times because that's the way that the Disney app works. And I finally get my new credit card in there and I buy it and I go back and now Jungle Cruise is sold out. And you explicitly told me to check. And I checked it. I checked it. It was there. I know it was there. Like, all that does is it feels like all that this message has the ability to do is make me angrier. Though I guess for some people, they're going to look at it and be like, oh, wait, I can't go to, you know, insert attraction here because it is already gone for the day. So I won't bother. I won't bother buying light. I don't know. This it just, like you said, it's not a good look for this system.
Yeah.
But it could also speak to this just not being a good fit for Disneyland versus Walt Disney World.
Well, and Fast Pass Plus was never available at Disneyland either for assumably the same reason. It wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, so I don't know. This may be the first step to something changing for Genie Plus over at Disneyland, though I wonder if it's just going to be a change of welcome to peak pricing Genie Plus, you know, where because individual Lightning Lane can go up and down. What about if during peak season Genie Plus was $30 per ticket per day or something like that?
Well, and the funniest thing about this whole thing to me is that Disneyland had what everybody thought was the perfect solution. It's Max Pass. Everybody loved Max Pass. It was like the best compromise that Disney ever made. And I know I heard tons of people saying, I wish Disney would bring Max Pass over to Walt Disney World. And so Disneyland, I can see how they're even more frustrated because they already had a good solution that was for pay that everybody liked, that worked well. And now they have to use this, you know, worse solution for them.
Yeah. And it's weird to me because Max Pass essentially was in many ways Genie Plus, right? Except that now they've taken away the paper Fast Passes because Max Pass was simply an addition onto the paper Fast Passes. So
it was a digital paper Fast Pass.
Right. And you know what? Maybe I have missed in the past where Disney has, you know, said at Disneyland, hey, check to see Max Pass availability before you buy because it's non-refundable. But I don't think I have. I feel like I would have been alerted to that. If I have not, if that has happened before, please actually do at me. I want to know about this. Maybe it's because it's Disneyland, I'm somehow unaware of it. And, you know, my Genie Plus bias is showing here, but I don't know, man.
The thing is, like, I think what we idealize as like peak Disney parks, early, would you say 2000s, 90s and 2000s Disney parks is like peak? I don't know.
I didn't start visiting till early 2000s.
Yeah,
so
me too.
That's where I'm going to end up saying that it's peak. And I realize that, you know, a lot of that is nostalgia. And there's somebody else who started visiting in the 90s who's going to be like, man, you just don't know how good it could have been because you didn't visit in the 90s. Right. And I don't know, so on and so forth.
But that's
probably where I would put it.
What I'm getting at is I don't think that peak era Disney would even put that because if you bought it and you had a bad experience, they would give you unlimited everything for the rest of your trip to say sorry. You know, they were just, if they had this thing and you bought it and you didn't have a good time, they would comp your Genie Plus for the rest of the week. Like, sorry you had a bad experience. You've got it for the rest of the week all day long. Like, hopefully you can have a better experience with it. And hopefully, everything, it works out for you. I feel like that would be the answer normally to them. And they wouldn't even worry about putting these warnings in there, because the warning is friction. And the warning makes people think twice about doing something. And the early mid-2000s Disney that I think you and I kind of idealize would say, just over-apologize. If something goes wrong, it's much easier to take a frustrated person and make them feel like $1 million and like a princess, or whatever, than to try to stop them from making a bad choice. And I think Disney used to at least err on the side of, if they have a bad experience, we'll just make them feel really good. We'll just go way overboard and make them feel really good, and then they'll forget the bad experience because they had a really, really good experience after. And that feels to me like the bummer of this, and the difference in now versus, quote, the good old days.
Yeah, I don't think that everything about Genie Plus is set in stone. And yes, the pessimistic side of me says they'll just raise the price, and that is an option they have, but there are other options as well. And I also believe that, whatever reasoning you want to ascribe, whether it's making people feel good, having good experience, making more money, friction is never good for any of those things. So I don't think that Disney made this choice lightly. And yeah. I think there are already a lot of discussions happening about how do we keep this from happening again. So it'll be interesting to see if we see some sort of changes to Genie Plus. They won't directly say it's in response to this. At least I don't believe that they will, but we may see some things where we go, that would fix that problem that they had on Easter weekend. So stay tuned.
Here's my other question. Just to wrap this up, is there a point where Disneyland and Walt Disney World diverge, where their Genie Plus offerings diverge? Because right now they're basically the same, like the price, the what you get.
Nope,
$20
versus $15.
Oh,
right?
Is it? Oh, okay, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
So that's already different. They've got PhotoPass. We don't have PhotoPass.
Oh, that's like, right. They do. So there are
honestly, the differences that are there make me feel like I get that Disney wants everyone to associate Genie Plus with you get on rides quicker, or whatever they want you to associate with it. But they're different products because they're different parks that have different needs. So naming it something else wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because then you don't have this confusion of, well, Genie Plus is only, like, say your cousin calls you and they're like, Jeremy, I'm planning a trip to Disneyland. And you're like, well, dude, you got to get Genie Plus. It's only $15 a day. And then a couple of days later, they're like, Jeremy, you jerk. It was $20 a day. How could you not tell me that? Or, you tell somebody else, oh yeah, it includes PhotoPass. And they're like, but I went to Walt Disney World and then all my photos had PhotoPass on it. It said it was going to be $180 or $190. And you said, like, again, friction that I don't think needs to be there.
Yeah. So. No, you're right. I totally forgot that they are different already.
So name it something different, change it up a little bit. And who knows where it could go, but yeah, we'll see what happens. This is not a good look, but hopefully it's not something that's going to happen regularly. I honestly don't want this to be something that happens regularly.
Yeah. So I took a cruise vacation last week, and my wife and I were talking while we were on the ship one night, and about how relaxing that vacation is, because basically we didn't have any internet package or anything like that. So the days we were at sea, we were completely offline. Twitter, we didn't have Twitter, didn't have news, RSS, any of that stuff. We're completely offline. And we, sat, read books, sat by the pool, like did all the fun cruise stuff. But we had a conversation about Disney, and we both came to the realization that a cruise is very relaxing. There's really no way for you to not relax. Especially, if you don't get internet and you don't have social media and stuff like that. Like, you just have to chill out and relax. And it was great. But Disney World is not necessarily relaxing. It is a really, really fun event that you go to. And it is great, and I love it, and I am not going to, stop going to Disney World or anything. But it's not relaxing. And it took going on a vacation that was actually relaxing for me to realize, like, oh, yeah, no, we don't relax at Disney. We have a lot of fun, but it's not relaxing in the same way as, like, in the same way as another type of vacation can be. And I just thought that was a really interesting thing that, like, we'd never really come to that conclusion, because we really only ever go to Disney World. So this was the first time we'd been together on a vacation that wasn't to Disney World.
Yeah. This is something that I've kind of dealt with for a while now, of realizing, I don't take a lot of vacations that aren't Disney. So it's been a while since I've had a really good comparison, but yeah, Disney is the definition of a vacation from which I need a vacation to recover from my vacation.
Yeah.
I honestly kind of want to get home a day early so that I have a day. And, like, yeah, to some extent that's anywhere, because you want to get reacclimated to everything going on at home. But Disney, it's you've been go, go, go for so long, mm-hmm. and you finally get this opportunity to slow down. Now, I will say, Jeremy, if I recall correctly, your latest boat trip kind of was missing one thing that can make your current vacation experiences a little bit less relaxing, and that's called children, Jeremy.
Yes.
Did you have your children with you on this boat?
No, we did not.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe we can revisit this after your next. Because your next trip is an anniversary trip, right? So it's just you and the wife.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, maybe you'll feel a little bit different, but no, largely you will not, because you're having to do things on a clock, and you're trying to fit as much fun as you possibly can into each day, and you've got the dining reservation that you got to make it over to, but we got to ride this, and this. Like, there's planning involved, and I don't know. I think for some people, Disney can give you that super relaxation, but I don't think you and I are those people, Jeremy.
No.
Like, well, there are people who talk about, oh, yeah, we went back to the room in the middle of the day, and then we came back to the park, but, we just did, like, 2 or 3 hours, and then we were, we were kind of done for the day, and so we headed home. And, like, please understand that if you are that person, I am not at all talking down to you. I'm simply saying that is not the way that I experience Disney. And so that's a totally foreign concept to me. And to me, that actually sounds super relaxing, but it's just not something I can do when I go to Disney, because my brain isn't wired that way.
Yeah.
There's times when I'd like my brain to be wired that way, to be like, this is, but in order to find my vacation fulfilling, I've got to, I don't know, squeeze every last drop out of it or something, which sounds kind of weird and possibly a little bit bad, but I honestly think is where
and
I am.
Honestly, to get into the, if you get into the cost of it, you know, it's thousands of dollars to go to Walt Disney World for, let's just say, 4 days, because that's, my cruise was 4 nights. So to go to Walt Disney World for 4 days is thousands of dollars. This cruise that I booked, I got, and granted, I got a screaming deal on. I just happened to look on Cyber Monday, and they had a really good deal on this cruise, and this was the only one that I could book at this price. But it was low hundreds of dollars for 4 nights. And, like, I tell you, it's a lot easier to relax when you're not worried about getting your money's worth. You know? Like, us going to Disney for 10 days, and I will say, in part of our strategy for going for 10 days is we only bought 7 days worth of park tickets to give us 3 days where we can't go to
the
park.
You don't have a choice but to relax.
Yeah. And so to do like a two on, one off kind of schedule where we're trying to like build in these relaxing days. So we're not just going and getting burnt out. But yeah, it was, part of the relaxation was like the cruise was super cheap. And I really didn't have that background process in my brain going, is this worth it? Should we be doing something else? Because this was very expensive. It was just kind of like, whatever, you know, we got away for a few $100 and whatever happens, happens. And so, yeah, I think there is a little bit of that maybe in my, you know, realization, because Disney's expensive and it's only getting more expensive.
Yeah. I have a cruise planned in June, and ours is closer. So it's a 4 day cruise as well. For myself and Nancy, it's like right around $1,000. So it's not nearly as cheap as your cruise was, but still that's nowhere, you know, coming close to what we paid for our last Disney vacation.
Yeah.
Even, and it wouldn't have been significantly, you know, the Disney vacation wouldn't have suddenly been $1,000 if it had just been the two of us either. I realized we had more people with us and everything, but yeah, it's less expensive. I don't know, but at the same time, there's not going to be, Galaxy's Edge on that boat. So
my final, that's getting to my final thought on that is these are incomparable. It's different. They're two different things, and that was kind of our big aha moment. Is like Disney World is a vacation. Absolutely, it's fun. You get in the bubble, you live outside of real life. It is a vacation. But I guess what this cruise taught us is that all vacations are not created equal. And you can have such vastly different experiences depending on what you do. And it was kind of a revelation to us, was like, oh my gosh, there are different, not just different locations to vacation, but different types of vacations you can do that serve very different functions mentally and emotionally. And I don't know, it was just a really interesting kind of realization to come to.
Yeah. And now the difficulty there is deciding, which kind of vacation do I want? Do I want to get that extra Disney vacation in, or am I ready for that relaxation vacation? Because yeah, it's hard to, I don't know. I struggle not to find some terminology that doesn't sound a bit like, well, because it's true. It's hard to get off of Disney when you're so addicted to Disney.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the, let's just call it what it is.
Yep.
Right. To not see some other vacation as wasting time that you could have gone to Disney.
Yeah.
But actually saying, hey, you know what? That's okay that I didn't go to Disney this time. It's okay that I took a trip somewhere else and had a totally different experience. Like our, you know, when we took our trip to Kauai a couple of years back, that was not a Disney trip at all because we didn't have a lot of stuff planned. Most of our time was spent like just driving around the island and just chilling out at, you know, our place, or, you know, going and checking out a beach or something like that. And it was a vacation. Like you said, it was what you tend to believe is a vacation versus the experience that is Disney.
The Disney.
The Disney. But yet I still find myself every time going, man, I really want to go back to, you know, Kauai, or I want to go try the Big Island, or, you know, whatever. But then I end up booking another Disney vacation. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we need to become more well-rounded individuals, Jeremy, instead of Disney freaks.
Well, and as a father of a four-year-old, I think I'm about to start getting an earful from a tiny human if I try to go to Disney World many more times without her. And that may change my, you know, Disney becomes a family thing, and then other, you know, other types of trips become, quote, vacations, you know? And I have a feeling my Disney dynamic is about to change drastically, because I don't think after this trip in November, I'm going to get away with going without my kids anymore, because, yeah, she's ready.
Honestly, I'm surprised you've gotten away with it this long, and don't be surprised if after your next trip, you don't get an earful from a tiny human.
Yeah. Well, that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast, and you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, and until then, have a magical day.